I want to share some things today which are in context for the next couple of weeks. The next few weeks we're going to be looking at vision, and in looking at vision we're going to be looking at some of the things that God has called us to do, some of the things God has given us authority to do here, and some of the things that we need to go forward in doing it. And I think it's not insignificant that Larry Pearson picked up on how unique things are here. Now, that's not to be proud about it, because let's look at each other. It's like, guys, we're a bunch of people in a Dullum's cave, bunch of rogues, really. It's like, you know, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, otherwise he wouldn't have chosen us. You know, it's like, it's not that we have anything other than what we have is in earthen vessels so that God gets the glory. Because when all the miracles and all the signs and wonders and all the things God is going to do happen, we won't be able to turn around and say, look at us, how great we are. Because it's about how great he is and about how great God is. And so we have a mandated authority to deliver ministry here. And ministry just means serving. But we've been given mandates. Now, mandates are authoritative directions from God to minister in particular ways. Now, we've been given certain things that we're called to minister in. Other churches have got other things they're called to minister in. And together, we're here to bring the glory of God into this region, because God has a grace for this region and God wants to do. And Isaiah 61 is where our basic prophetic DNA comes from. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes of those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, that was what Jesus read. Okay, Jesus read that in the synagogue, and he basically said, this has been fulfilled today. Luke 4:18 is how it's presented in the New Testament. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. That's how Jesus interpreted Isaiah 61. And I think we'll fit in there somewhere. Because we all need God. We need the presence of God. We need God's Spirit to be upon us. Now, the context of Jesus having that anointing upon him is really important, because we've been operating in the anointing of the Holy Spirit here, in the presence of God. Okay? That is the presence of God. God is going to come in his glory, and we're going to operate in the glory of God, which is a whole different realm. Away on the Norwegian fjords and different things, quite often the water was so much like glass that you could see a reflection of the sky and the mountains and the snow on top of the mountains in the water. And you could look, it almost looked like you were looking at the real thing, even though you were looking into the water. What we've been operating in is just the reflection. What's coming is the reality of his presence and his manifest glory. Matthew 3:16 says, after being baptized, Jesus came out immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. God has been opening the heavens here. For the last almost 2 years, I've been trying to encourage people to enter into that realm of the heavens. Larry Pearson talked about it, the deep things of God. The deeper things of God calling to deep. Deep calls to deep at the sound of his waterfall. Deb put some of her pictures, some of the pictures I took on holiday on Facebook. I think she took two, I put 200 on there. I took 1,269 pictures altogether. And a load of them are waterfalls, because I get drawn to waterfalls. It's like Steve brought a word about a waterfall. I get drawn to waterfalls. It's like, and I take, and she says, why have you taken so many pictures of waterfalls? Because something in my spirit gets drawn, because I know there's something about the sound that's coming from heaven that's illustrated in a waterfall that has the deep sounds of God and the high sound. Both frequencies are in the waterfall sound. And it's such a full sound when you're in the presence of a waterfall. Heavens are open and the presence of God is coming. In this scripture it says, he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. It was like the cloud of glory came on Jesus. Jesus already had the Holy Spirit in him. He already had the presence of the Father in him, but the presence of the glory of God came upon him, which was different. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is speaking out of heaven, and he is calling that. We sang about it today. He's calling us by name. And he's saying, you are my beloved children, my sons, my daughters, and I'm pleased. And he is pleased to use us in his glory and in a whole different dimension of the Holy Spirit. And leading up to that baptism in water and the Holy Spirit and the glory cloud and the heavens opening over him, this is what John said in Matthew 3:11. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And we've operated in the presence of the Holy Spirit, not so much in the presence of the fire, because the fire is associated with glory. And you cannot be in the presence of the fire without the fire of God and the glory transforming. And if we were to be in the presence of the glory, to the dimension that God is coming, frazzled to a crisp comes to mind. Hence, holiness, transformation, sorting out the stuff in our lives so that we can stand in the glory and minister from the glory cloud. See, in the Old Testament, when the glory filled the temple, the priest could not stand to minister. They were flat on their faces. Now, we do a lot of being flat on our faces here, but we haven't seen anything yet. Because we have to minister out of the cloud of glory. Jesus didn't lie on his face. He walked around with the glory around him, and people got healed and restored. Even in the early church, Peter healed people through the presence of the shadow of the glory of God that was around him, because he ministered from the glory. The glory has been lost, and God is restoring it to the church so that we can minister in that place. Because what goes with glory is not just, oh, this is really nice. The presence of the glory cloud brings the fire of God. This is what it says. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat in the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. For whatever comes in salvation comes judgment. When Jesus came and took the judgment on the cross, he brought salvation to the world for those who will accept him, and judgment for those who won't. And the glory of God just brings a separation of what is right and what is wrong. And that is coming. Matthew 17, when Jesus came again under an open heaven, says he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed him, the cloud of God's glory. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. God is going to cause people to listen to his church in these days because of what is coming to the world. People will want to listen to the church when we're ministering from the place of the glory of God, when we are shining like the sun. Whether you think of that as a literal shining, whether you see it as something that is just the radiance of the presence of God, whatever, I believe it's going to be literal for some people who are willing to embrace it. God is going to speak. because we're going to be overshadowed with the presence of God's glory, of his kingdom. Luke 9:29 is another description of what went on. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Do you know how bright lightning is? Literally, the temperature of a lightning bolt is 5 times the surface of the sun. That's a lot. 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's hot. And it's powerful. And lightning is associated with the presence of the cloud of glory. When the glory came on Mount Sinai, they saw flashings of lightnings. When you go to the throne of God, there are flashings of lightning around the throne of God. And then it says this in verse 32. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. His glory was seen. And when Moses came out of the cloud, his face shone. And he had to put a veil over his face, because he was walking around shining with the glorious presence of God coming from him. That was in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament it says, if that was under the Old Covenant, what should we expect under the New Covenant? Even greater dimensions of glory. We have been operating in the realm of his presence, and it's wonderful to be in his presence. And it releases his anointing. But as those heavenly portals have been opening, there is an invitation to go deeper and into a different realm. We have to cross the threshold. It's very interesting, exactly what Larry Pearson brought on Friday night. There is a threshold to cross between the presence of God and the glory of God. And how awesome the presence of God is, the glory of God is even greater. And will be beyond our expectation. Because the glory realm, which we have to cross into, goes up a whole different dimension of miracles, signs and wonders, power, presence of God. So that creative signs and wonders, creative power and authority. So there will be things like automatic weight loss. I've seen these things in the realm of the kingdom, where people will lose 50, 60 pounds in a meeting because of the glory of God, because fat cells will go away from the presence of God's glory. People will get new hair who are bald. I've seen it in the realm of the spirit. And it's happening around the world today. In the glory cloud, people get a whole new set of hair. Now those things, well, why is all that? Well, God knows the hairs of our head. And God wants to restore things that were lost. And if you lose hair, why wouldn't God want to restore it? You see, these things are like, well, that's all a bit weird. That's nothing compared to what God is going to start doing. Body parts in the glory being restored. Creative miracles, people being raised from the dead, because we have to walk around in the cloud of glory ourselves. Yes, we are going to experience it corporately when the glory comes, but we have to walk around with the glory around us. We minister from the glory cloud. That is why Peter's shadow healed people. They brought people out in the street, so as Peter walked by, the shadow of his glory healed all of them. And that was a totally different dimension to him laying hands on people and saying, be healed in Jesus' name, which was operating in the anointing and in the gifts of the Spirit. Operating in the cloud of glory is a whole different ballgame. And it's coming. Glory is associated with clouds and smoke and light and power. We have smelt smoke here in the building, not associated with natural fire, but a sign of the presence of the glory of God coming. These are just little signs. We've had things like light and seeing angels and light coming through the building and power, but it is going to increase. There is going to be an explosion of glory. A glory explosion. Kingdom explosion is one thing. Glory explosion is a whole different dimension of the presence of God. And it is coming. Are we going to be ready for it? In January, God showed me a mantle of lightning bolts. And it was a mantle for me. And I've not put it on. You know, I've been frightened to put it on, to be honest. Because I've been frightened of what would happen if those lightning bolts suddenly started to appear and touch people. Now, 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit would not be too pleasant. That's what would happen. But actually, God has given me a mantle, and it is covered with lightning bolts. On Friday night, when Larry did whatever he was doing while I was on the floor, it's like it elevated me to a position that God put that lightning mantle on me. Now, watch my fingertips. But I know it's because what is coming is a greater level and dimension of authority and power. See, Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The realm that God has been opening up for us is the realm of heaven. So we can enter into the place of heaven, and from that place of heaven, bring heaven to earth. Now, I know some of you have struggled with that, struggled to enter in, and it's almost like, well, we like the worship and we like other things, and that's a little bit too much. Actually, that is where God has taken us as a church, into the realm of heaven and the realm of his glory. We can't escape it. It is our destiny. It is something God has called us to enter into that realm and to manifest that realm on earth. We have to seek first the kingdom. We have to seek it first. Yeah, I've said before, we can be a church that is here to host the people of God. Or we can be a church who's here to host the God of the people. And when the God of the people is here, the people of God will be transformed and changed. And we need to see the presence of God come in glory. Because God has given us a mandate to be light. Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your fathers in heaven." We've been given that mandate to be that city on a hill. In the message it says this, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. There's something about God bringing light and wanting us to be in light that he's given us a mandate to be. It's about transformation of life. That's why we've got a butterfly on the building, because it's about transformation from one degree of glory to another. Community transformation. It's not just about our lives being changed. It's about our whole community being transformed. And we've been given a mandate for community transformation. Change. Literally metamorphosis. From one form of a caterpillar into another one, a butterfly. Now, which would you rather be? A caterpillar or a butterfly? You want to crawl around on the ground? Or do you want to fly? And be lovely colours other than green or hairy? Because we've called to be transformed into the image of Jesus. From glory to increasing glory. It's our destiny to manifest the glory of God. To change earth into the reflection of heaven. That is what God has called us to. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we with unveiled face," see, we have no veil over us anymore. The veil that was on Moses has been removed. The veil between heaven and earth has been removed. We have access into the realm of his presence. into the realm of his glory. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. We're destined to be like Jesus. This is what God created Adam and Eve for, Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, he empowered them to succeed, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule. It's like talking about, I am royalty. What does royalty do? Rule. That gives you authority and power to rule, which means you can bring heaven to earth through your life, through what you say, through what you do. Romans 8:19, for the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. God is waiting to reveal you as his sons. Now, it says sons, it means sons and daughters, but it says sons because sons were inheritors of the inheritance. Every one of us is an inheritor, a joint heir with Christ to all the promises of God. For this whole creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to the corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The whole of creation will be restored into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We are supposed to carry glory. And that glory is going to bring the whole of creation into freedom, bring it into life. That's why we've got the name Freedom. It's like, it's a destiny name, because God has given us a destiny to fulfill. Isaiah 2:2. Now it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as chief of the mountains and be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. That is what the church is called to be in the last days, in authority and power, so that when the shaking of the world systems happen, we will have the answers. We will be living in such dimensions of glory that the whole nations will stream to the mountain of the house of the Lord to receive what? Everything it needs. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There will be no increase to the increase of God's government, his kingdom. It was started in the Garden of Eden, and it was supposed to fill the earth and fill the universe. And it still will fill the earth and fill the universe, because the knowledge of the glory of God will fill the earth. It will cover the earth. We have a mandate for revival, for the presence of God here. That is what God has called us to have, revival. Larry Pearson talked about a habitation of his presence, being a house that God would dwell in. The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what revival is. Being a Joshua generation, to equip the next generation in their supernatural destiny and inheritance. That is what we are mandated to do. To equip and prepare for what is to come. Now, I've not really shared with you what is to come in detail. Just little bits. But what is to come, we certainly are going to have to be prepared for. And we need to be filled and manifesting and living from the glory of God to be able to operate in that. God gave us this scripture, 2 Chronicles 26:11. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle. God is preparing an army here, ready for battle, ready for spiritual warfare, ready for warfare in the natural realm, which entered combat by divisions. In other words, in ministry areas. And God has given us ministry areas. The total number of the heads of those households of valiant warriors was 2,600. For us, we have a number of people who are heads of households here. That's why we've set up a structure that we have with housekeepers. This is where the scripture came from that gave us authority to do that. That structure has been tested and challenged since we've set it up, because the enemy does not want it to fulfill its destiny, because it will equip the rest of the church under that apostolic structure to wage war, to become, as it says here, under their direction was an elite army who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, sling stones. God is going to give us weapons of warfare that come out of glory in power. Now, we cannot allow the enemy to stop what God is going to do. So we need to stand firm, and stand firm in what God has spoken to us already to see this fulfilled, because God wants us and has mandated us to do that. Because there is a shaking coming. Hebrews 12:26. His voice shook the earth then, and now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will not only shake the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things that can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. We're going to enter into such a place of the presence of God that reverence and awe will be in our midst, and people will not be able to come into that without actually experiencing that reverence and awe. Because our God is a consuming fire. In Zechariah, it talks about God being a wall of fire and his glory being in the midst. That's what's coming. At the moment, we have a wall of fire. But we need the glory of God in the midst. And that is what's coming. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, that was speaking of Jesus, and it speaks of Jesus, his people. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. The glory of God will appear upon us. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. It is coming, and we've been mandated to do that. Now, if we're going to actually accomplish all the things that God's called us to do, we have to expand our capacity. We have to expand our capacity in the spiritual realm, in the glory of God, and in the natural realm. Isaiah 54 says, shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, for you have not travailed, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman. And this is talking about God taking people who've got nothing and giving us a harvest of blessing. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. I brought a prophetic word quite a few months ago about God saying to fire an arrow with a cord attached to it. And how far you fired it would determine how much you were going to enter into. And it says, spare not. Next week we're going to be sharing with you about the things that God's called us, about expansion, about what God wants to do, about the vision. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your pegs, for you will spread out abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations, and you will resettle desolate cities. God is going to do something. We have to expand. 1 Chronicles 4:10, very powerful prayer that people have used all over the world. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, O God, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Now that sounds really selfish, doesn't it? Bless me. Well, I need to be blessed to be a blessing. If I'm not blessed, I can't be a blessing. It's only his blessing on me that enables me to bless others. I need to be blessed. And we need to be hungry for more blessing and to enlarge our territory. If we have more facility to be able to bless people, we will be able to bless more people. God is going to enlarge it. Let your hand be with me, keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. The name Jabez was a not very pleasant name, because it meant being born in pain. And to come into the glory of God, there is a sense where you have to go through the pain of transformation from one degree of glory to another. And loads of you know what it's like. You know what it's like to be in that place where it's like, it is really hard. What's going on? Why is everything like this? We have to go through that place of transformation, because the caterpillar does not become a butterfly out in the open. He's put in a cocoon of darkness, and it gets so hot in that cocoon of darkness that literally the DNA of the caterpillar completely goes to mush and gets transformed into a totally new DNA of a butterfly. But there is heat and pressure that goes on in that place of transformation. And God is saying, do not try to avoid the cocoon of transformation, because that will bring about greater degrees of glory. Now we have these ministry areas. They're represented by mountains with thrones, and we have a scroll, a mandated authority. We have a mandate to bring transformation, bring good news to the poor, a mandate to bring health, to bring sight to the blind, a mandate to bring freedom, freedom to the captives, harmony, freedom from oppression, blessing, a cancellation of debts, through media to preach the good news, and through enterprise to be blessed to be a blessing. We've been mandated with authority to deliver those things. God has given us the authority. Now we need to start going into the fulfillment of what we need to do those things, which is the ministry to the church. So here we want to encourage everyone to live in and live out of the manifest presence of God in our lives, helping people to find and therefore fulfill their destinies. It's what God has called us to do. So if we are going to corporately fulfill what God has called us to do, every one of us individually needs to fulfill, because we are the body. The church isn't an organization. It's a group of people. And you're the group of people who are sat here today. And God wants to use you to fulfill your destiny, because just as we sang earlier, you are royalty. You have a destiny. You've been set free to be a changer of history, to shape and change history. Now that sounds really dramatic. Actually, that is your destiny. It's our destiny here to change and transform things. So that every one of you are free to see your destiny, free to know, free to be, free to do, and free to go. That is everything about what God's called us to do. And he's given us some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as shepherds and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the works of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. It's for all of us to do it. We have ministry here to equip everybody to function. It's not that, oh well, Mike's an apostle, therefore we're okay, let him do all the work. As a church, we have to be apostolic. We have prophets here. We have to be prophetic as a church. They're here to equip us to be prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, discipling. We need all those gifts to equip each other to be that sort of church. This is the description of it in Ephesians 4:16. From the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. And you're the joints, by the way, joined together in relationship according to the proper working of each individual part, and you're the parts that has to work properly. It will cause the growth of the body for the building itself up in love when we all do what God has called us to do. But then we have our ministry of the church here. It's an apostolic resource center that God has called us to have, equipping and training in the ways of the kingdom. We've been doing that with local leaders. I've been meeting with local leaders now for 12 months or so, and in the position God has favored me with in terms of being chairman of churches together, I have access to bless the local leaders, to bring revelation to them about the ways of the kingdom. And some of them I've taught specifically, and others that are entering into that we're seeking and praying together for the whole area of what God wants to do. But there are also regional leaders. I'm meeting with two other regional leaders from over in Totnes and in the center, in Jubilee in the center, to form a regional apostolic council. And that sounds really fancy. It means three of us sit around in the presence of God. It's great. And God speaks and God moves things in people's lives as a result of us sitting there. We're going to do more than that. In November the 10th, on a Saturday, those three ministry groups are going to come together and we're going to release a portal over the area of blessing and glory. So don't miss that one on a Saturday afternoon. Also, national leaders. In beginning of August, I'm going with the other two to talk with Trevor Baker in Devley about National Apostolic Council. And God is opening up doors, not just for what we're doing here, but to spread that and to share it abroad. Because the teaching that we have here and the things that God's doing are going all over the world. Now I've had people buy resources from Australia, from the United Arab Emirates, from lots of places in the States, from Holland, in Germany, lots of places around the world, who are actually starting to take what God is doing here and apply it. I had a guy from a church in California last week while I was on holiday, on email, basically asking if he can take all our materials and make them available for his church. Because he knows that what God is doing here is something that needs to do in other places. And you think, well, we're just little Barnstable. Yeah, so what? God takes the foolish things of the world, the little places, and makes them wide. It's like Redding, California, where Bethel Church is not a great big city. It's not Los Angeles or San Francisco. It's Redding, California. And yet there is a habitation of God's presence which is now touching the world. God has mandated us with the same authority here to touch the world through what God is going to do here, through you. It's not just through me and my teaching, but you living it out and being able to manifest it from the glory of God that's coming, what God is going to do. I believe we're going to see 20% of the population saved. And that is just the laborers for the harvest. But we are called and mandated to take that generation and equip it in the supernatural. There will be cities of refuge where that end time army is going to be trained, and this will be a city of refuge. Not just this church, but this whole area. It will just be this church if no one else takes the challenge, but I want to encourage and equip all the churches here to take up that challenge. We will have a supernatural ministry school. We will have healing rooms and a healing center to prepare people for their destiny. We will have a kingdom bank. Now, you know, what would we need a kingdom bank for? Because when all the banks of the world fail, our kingdom bank will be operating. You might think, that's really bizarre. Actually, we need to share the big vision that God's given. Because we need to be ready for the shaking of the world systems that are to come. God has given us a prophetic timetable that we need to be ready for the things that are coming. It's like, the first stage of that is the intimacy and call to be habitations of the presence of God, the wine of the Spirit, and to have the manifestations of the presence of God, which is great. I love all that. But actually, the second stage of that is the stage that we've moved into, is the gathering and removing of stumbling blocks, sorting us out and preparing us for glory, because judgment is coming to the household of God. And you know where it's going to come first? Here. And in other places like here, who are hearing God and are willing to pay the cost of transformation. Places like Bethel, places like Devley, places around the world that are habitations of God's present revival centers. It will hit them first. So we need to be ready. I believe we've got a few years to be ready. So we need to be ready and let God do what he's going to do. I want to finish with this scripture, or this prophetic word, because this challenges us to be ready. And when I received this word in January, I felt really, really weighty with it. And I knew it was a significant word. And it says this, and this is Jesus speaking, I am going to once again shake all things. I'm going to turn over the money changers' tables in my temple. I'm going to drive out the thieves and robbers from my temple. I am preparing the whip right now to expose the attitudes and motives of your lives. I'm going to expose in my temple, the church, those who are using it for their own purposes. There will be many who are exposed for who and what they are. My temple will once again be known as the Father's house, a place of habitation. My temple will be known as the house of prayer, where my words of truth will set my people free, and that through free men the world will be set free from the chaos and confusion and dominion of darkness it's in. My desire is to reveal sons to the world, true sons living in the truth, true temples where my rivers of my presence and power are flowing to fulfill my purposes. I am preparing the whip right now, so be ready for motives that are selfish and self-centered to be revealed. Know for sure that my temple will be known as a true house of prayer. And there are a couple of scriptures, Matthew 21:12 there, and John 2:12-22, which describe Jesus when he came to the temple on earth. And I'd encourage you to look at those passages, because he's coming. Are we going to be ready? There is a season that we're in, preparing us for holiness, a season to remove stumbling blocks, a season is to prepare us to cross the threshold into the glory realm. Don't resist it. Embrace it. Be changed from glory to ever-increasing glory. Don't be a stumbling block that God has to remove, because he will remove stumbling blocks from his church if they get in the way of him fulfilling his purposes. God has given us a mandated ministry here, and we just need to accept it. It's not because we're great. It's just because we're willing to be obedient. If we're willing to be obedient, God will transform us and manifest his glory in ways which just are way beyond what our imagination is right now. You up for that? I believe God's desire is to enable us to expand our tent pegs, and we're going to be sharing about that in the next couple of weeks, about different things God's calling us to do, to expand what we're doing, and to bring ever-increasing glory and opportunities for God. Amen.